You're listening to the Gateway Family Church Podcast. This is the place to find the latest thoughts from Gabriel and Mike Wright, the lead pastors of Gateway Family. Here we go.
Open your Bibles, if you would, today to John, the 12th chapter. John chapter 12. Now, we're going to be picking up just a little bit more on the names of the Lord and praying the names of God. But one of the things that the Lord spoke to me about, he just said, tell them my name. Now, let me ask you a question. Go to John 12, and we're going to look at verse number 12 and 13, somewhere along that place. You do know in the book of John, in the upper room discourse, that's chapters 14, 15, 16, and 17, that four times in there, Jesus said, ask the Father in my name. And he even said one time, hitherto you've not asked in my name. And I'm going to tell you why. Because he was there with them, so they didn't have to use his name. But when he left, he said, you've got to use my name. Now, on understanding the name, let me ask you a question. If I tell you that, I'm just going to pick somebody, maybe. If I say, I don't know, man, here's got a good name. Just trying to look you over. But if I say, no, can't find anybody yet. I'm going to scour y'all. Okay, if I say Will has a good name. What do I mean when I say good name? He's got a good name. What is that? Now, listen, we use that in America, y'all. Come on, help me. Good reputation. So when I said he had a good name, you didn't think about his last name. When I said he had a good name, what'd you think about? Who he was. What is his history? What is it about him? And I'm going to tell you one more time. I want you to get this and let it sink down in your spirit. And next week we'll close this off. But I'm going to say this to you. Jesus has a name. And it's called the Enoma. When the Bible says that he was given a name. And look in John 12, 12 and 13. And this is on the entry into Jerusalem. And it says the next day a great multitude had come to the feast. And they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. And they took the branches of palms and they went out to meet him. And they cried out and they said, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in. And here it is, in the name, in the Enoma. As a matter of fact, most times in your Bible, when name is used, it is the enoma. Enoma means character and worth and position and reputation and history. He wasn't coming in Jesus. He was coming in the name that Jesus represents. Back up and said another way. I've already said it, but I said it again. You throwing Jesus in on the end of your prayers doesn't make God listen. Said another way, you can Jesus till you turn green and devils will laugh at you if all you know is Jesus. Right. See, right now some of y'all mad at me. When I said that, look, you drew up right then. But let me say this to you. It's not the name that does it. If it were the name, we would say Yeshua. We would say Yeshua. We wouldn't even go to Joshua. But Jesus' name means Savior. But it has a ton of meaning in it. The authority you're given when you pray over your meal and you say in Jesus' name is not about putting a religious cliche into action. It's about calling the authority of God into a situation. When you say in Jesus' name, you've called heaven into this thing. You've called everything he represents. He has a good name. So I'm not praying his name, Jesus, just so I can say Jesus. And I'm just helping y'all right now more than you're amen to me. But you need to get that out of your religious mindset. And every time you say Jesus, start really understanding what you're saying. Amen? So here's what the Bible says. They came in his name. The word of God says this in Philippians chapter 2, verses 11 and 12. It says that Jesus has been highly exalted by God and was given a name that is above every name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow and every tongue should confess. It's not just that Jesus is spoken. It's everything about him that causes people to bow. The devil is not going to bow because he hears the name Jesus. He hears that all the time. He bows when he hears it used with its authority. Amen. If I come to you in the name of the United States of America, it's a lot different than coming to you in the name of Mike Wright. If I come to you as a police officer in the name of the city of Auburn, it has a whole lot more authority to it than the guy without a uniform saying, I'm coming up here in my family's name. Who cares? But if you come in the name of the city of Auburn, now we've got a different issue, right? I'm just saying we've got to begin to understand that the Bible says in Acts 4, verses 11 and 12, that there's no other name under heaven whereby men must be saved. Touch someone and say, there's not another opinion. Let me tell you something. There's not a second choice. There's not another opinion. There is not another option for being born again. It is the name of Jesus. There is no other name. But when I say Jesus, it's got to be more than I'm just calling out a name. It's got to be that I understand the death, burial, and resurrection. And when I say his name, I move myself into that. Are y'all seeing what I'm saying? When I call out on the name of Jesus, he makes me righteous. Everything about me changes. I'm a little bit weary of people getting saved because they trip down to an altar and they say the name of Jesus and they go back out and they just live for the devil. The reason they don't change is because they got church Jesus instead of kingdom Jesus. Kingdom Jesus will bend you. Kingdom Jesus will deliver you. Kingdom Jesus will cause you to become righteous, will make you righteous. I don't know if you know the word righteous, but let me help you know the word righteous. It means to be weighed in the scales and you were the heaviest. Righteous means that we're put in the scales and we're greater than the sin. We're greater than the problems. We're greater than the past because we're the righteousness of God. It's about a weight issue that righteous people are stronger than they were before. They carry more authority. They carry more weight. Y'all still tracking me so far? So we got to understand when we use the name of Jesus, what it is, what it's talking about. Now, another one of the things about the names of God, several people got revelations on the name of God. Like, for an example, Moses got a revelation. His first revelation of God's name was in Exodus 3 at the burning bush. Y'all remember that? Do you remember when he was talking to the Lord in the burning bush? And he said something to the Lord. He said, let me just ask you one more question. These people you're sending me to are going to ask me a question about you. Huh? How many of y'all remember that? He gave him an answer right there. He said, you tell them I am Yahweh. I am a God of covenant. I am that I am. I was, I am, and I will be. They were so frightened of the name Yahweh that they wouldn't spell any vowels in it. So they just spelled it with a YHWH. So it just spelled it in our YHWH. It's just spelled without any vowels in it because they were so fearful to honor that name. I'm just saying, maybe we need to look again about the name of the Lord because he said this. He said, you tell them that I am sending you. You tell them that Yahweh is sending you. Now, that may not matter to you, but it matters to me because Yahweh says, I want a relationship with them. Now, let me tell you something else. You don't get saved so you can be a part of this church. You get saved so you can be a part of the kingdom of God. God wants a relationship with you. He wants to be a part of you. How many of y'all remember in your New Testament when Jesus is speaking in John chapter 10 and verse number 10, we quote that the thief has come to steal, kill, and destroy. But verses 1 through 9 says that the only way to get in the sheepfold is through the door. And Jesus said, and I am the door. And he goes on to say this. He said, and the shepherd, if he's the good shepherd, he lays down his life for his sheep. So I'm just telling y'all, I am the good shepherd. He made it clear who he was. Can I tell you about good shepherds? Good shepherds want their sheep. All right, let me back up and say it another way. He says, the good shepherd knows his sheep by name. Let me go ahead and hurt your feelings while I got you happy. When he says, I know your name, he's not just saying, I know Sue. Yeah, he gets that. But you get to heaven, you're going to get another name, so he ain't worried about what they're calling you down here. When he says, I know your name, Dave, he's saying, I know everything about you. And I'm going to say this to y'all. This is going to help somebody in here right now. You may not be everything. You may be jacked up right now. You may be wanting to serve God and can't serve God. You may be bound in some sin and issues in your life, and you're saying, well, God doesn't love me. Let me help you right now. He loves you. He died for you, and he said, I know you by name, and you're my sheep. Here's the problem. If you're outside the fold, he's after you. He's not closing the door on you. I just get upset with Christians when someone gets something jacked up in their life and they say, well, they're just gone. Look, I'm living for the devil. Look, let me tell you something. God never looks at them that way. He says they're my sheep. How can they be his and living for the devil? Because everything is his in this world. When you were born, he wrote the pages, not the devil. Your mom and daddy didn't write the pages. He wrote the pages. He wrote pages about you. Now, when you're serving him, he walks through those pages. When you're away from him, he does not tear your book up. Because he knows you by name. He knows that he can reach you. He knows the Holy Ghost will go after you. And I'm going to help you right now. When the Holy Ghost came to you, he didn't come and tell you how pretty you were. He came and said, I love you like you are. I love you nasty. If I can get you in, I can clean you up. Just saying. He says, I know them by name. Now, here's our dilemma at church. He knows us by name. Some of y'all kind of squirming a little bit because he know what you did last night. He know what you did last week. Just saying. You need to say, thank you, Jesus, you're the good shepherd. Now, I'm just saying that he loves us. He knows us and loves us. You're not sneaking up on him. When you come and say whose fault it was, he's not interested in what you say. He's interested in who you are. Amen. Our problem is we don't know enough about him. And therefore, anybody can say anything from the pulpit and put people under bondage, make them feel bad. And I'm not trying to give you a ticket to sin. I'm like Peter was to Paul's people. He said, Paul writes these letters of so much lavish love and forgiveness and grace that people twist them to keep on sinning. And I'm just going to stop and say right now, there are people that do that. They take the good grace of God and they'll twist it so they can live like the devil. I'm just helping you on this one. God knows you. Still loves you. Still calls you his. I don't know if that stretches you, but it stretches me a long ways. That if you're not serving him, you die, you wake up in hell, but he calls you his. When you come back to him, you don't start over because you're his. The prodigal son that came back home did not start over. Matter of fact, he didn't even get his repentance done before the daddy said, hush, just be quiet. You're not going to be a servant around here. I'm not taking you back to grade one. I'm bringing you back right now. I love you. Gave him ring, gave him shoes, gave him a coat, put him back in authority. I'm just saying, folks, there's a God that loves you like that. But our problem is we don't love him the same because we don't know him the same. So let me give you, I'm going to give you a few thoughts and then we're going to have some overhead, let you see them. But I want to give you a couple thoughts here of the names of God. One of the names you see in the Bible, throughout the Bible, is El, E-L. Y'all seen that, right? El is a name for God and it means power, it means integrity, it means strength, and it means prominence. So if you ever see El something, El Bethel, it means the prominent God of the house of bread. So El is the name of God. Elohim, you find that in Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, Elohim. Elohim is the plural of Elohim, which means God, the creator. Elohim gives room for the Trinity. Now, I don't know how to explain the Trinity. If somebody, you know, put me on the spot and said they were going to kill my wife, if I didn't explain the Trinity, baby, you better have your heart right. Just saying. Because I would be a zero help to you. But here's what I do know. In Genesis 1:1, the Bible says, in the beginning, Elohim, the plural of God, the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost were in the beginning. So Jesus didn't just come 2,000 years ago. He's been with God. Matter of fact, he made the Pharisees so angry in the book of John because they said, and who do you think you are talking about Abraham? Remember what Jesus said? He said, I got something for y'all. You're going to want to kill me for it, but I'm going to say it anyway. Before Abraham was, I am. Before Abraham was, I am. I was already there. And the I am is the same I am that God said to Moses, tell him that I am. I am the Jehovah. I am the beginning. I am the end. I am eternal. And Jesus said before Abraham, I am. You wonder why they wanted to kill him, because they understood his name. They understood I am. Some of us don't get it. But why'd they get so enraged? Because he just said that he was a creator. He just said he is a covenant-keeping God. And they couldn't handle that. He was also El Shaddai, the God Almighty, the God that speaks ultimate power over his people. The word Shaddai, I know it's a feminine thought on it, but it's just a thought that's out there because of the supply of this mighty God, El Shaddai. It means the powerful, prominent, but Shaddai means multi-breasted. Babies don't live. Now, I'm just set aside modern science and technology, but babies not going to live unless there's a breast around there somewhere. And out of that first liquid that comes through, it sets in that baby's body antibodies against attacks from the outside, the colostrum. I know he's God, a man, but when he said Shaddai, he wanted you to understand that he supplies the what it is that when you get born again, that will keep you and protect you from the outside environment, that he's there to make sure that you grow up in him. I'm just saying, he's a God like that. He said, I am Jehovah. I am who I am. I am immediate. I am present. I am accessible. I'm near to those that call on me for deliverance. I am Jehovah. So when you see Jehovah, he's bringing you to himself. He's saying, I am the God that's accessible. And then he tells you what he's accessible for. In your Bible, there are a lot of those. And before we get to these overhead, just quickly, one of them is Jehovah Shabbath. There's just a lot of them. I'm going to give you 8 this morning, but Jehovah Shabbath is one that I won't give you, but just throw it out to you right now. Jehovah Shabbath means I am the Lord of hosts. Here's what it means. I'm the Lord of the hosts of all the heavens, but I'm the Lord of the hosts of all of the earthlings down here. Just like I'm over all the angels, I'm over y'all. Just like they're a horde of an army, you're a horde of an army. I'm with you. Do you understand something? You're not just in this thing. You're a warrior. You're a soldier. You have a leader. You wrestle not against flesh and blood. The warfare is not against flesh and blood, and you have a leader. Jehovah Shabbat, I am the Lord of hosts. Another one I shared with my wife the other night that I love, it's El Roi. El, the providential, powerful, prominent God, R-O-I. The one who called him that, and you'll find his name in the Bible as he revealed what he did, then people would call him what he did. So one of the names was given by one you wouldn't think, of a lady that was thrown out of the house. A lady that was put out into the desert. A lady that had a baby that she could not feed. And she set that baby down and she went some way from him and sat down. She's a loser. She got kicked out. Her baby's about to die. And the Lord showed up and said, what's going on here? And a lady named Hagar, a lady who was kicked out, a lady who had the illegitimate son, that lady said, you must be God. And she said, this place is called El Roi. Here's what it means. The God that sees me in my desolation. Can I tell y'all something? It don't matter how bad you've been, God saw you there and loved you. God was there to help you out. You may not have asked him, you may not have seen him, but pastor's telling you right now, when you were screwed up and jacked up and doing your stuff, there was a God called El Roi who was there with you and watching you, not to kill you, but to sustain you. When people say, I don't get it, why those sinners, I don't get it, why they're not killing the car wreck. All 4 Christians got killed and that one drunk sinner got out alive. Well, I'm going to help you on one thing. God's an eternal God. And he don't want you to feel bad, but your folk are in heaven. If you'd let up on God's neck a little bit and let him be God and quit worrying about how he's judging the world, you'll be a happier individual. Because the truth is, I don't know why that reprobate lived unless God loved him, unless God didn't want the devil to have him, unless God protected him. I don't know any other way. But he is a roi. He's a God that sees. There's one more that I'll give you before we do these others, and it's El Olam. And it means I am the everlasting God. El Olam. I am the everlasting God. I'm free. Here's what it is. I'm free from all constraints of time. I am without beginning or end. And I contain within myself the very cause of time itself. I am everlasting to everlasting, and I am God. I don't know about the rest of y'all, but I want to know his name. Amen. Because when I'm in trouble, I want to know he's forever. He's not just for today. Whenever I'm out and I'm desolate and I have no one taking care of me and I've lost my job and my house burned down and my family's dead, I would like somebody to show up. And Job said, I know one thing. I've had a bad life. It's been tough around here. But I know I have a Redeemer that lives, and at the end I will see him. I may be in a bad spot. I may be in a bad patch, but I've got a God that's with me. He doesn't leave you because of bad days. I'm going to tell you right now, you need to thank God that he's a God of honesty. Because he could have told you, I'm going to promise you a rose garden. I love that commercial back in the 60s. I never promised you a rose garden. Y'all remember that song? How many of y'all, do y'all like that song? I like that song. The Marine Corps took it, and I loved what they did with it. I didn't promise you a rose garden. You may be thinking some high thoughts, but you get out here, this ain't no rose garden. And I'm just helping you right now. God knows it's not a rose garden, but he doesn't leave you. Here's what I like about him. He's not afraid to say, yeah, you're having a bad day. I know that doesn't make you feel good, but you need to feel good that he knows you're having a bad day. You need to feel good that he doesn't leave you because you're having a bad day. You need to understand that he gives you peace that passes understanding. Jesus said, my peace I give you, Colossians says, Paul writes, he says, my peace I give you. It is my peace I leave with you. Not as the world gives you, I give you peace. I'm just saying this is that God you serve. Let me go through the names very quickly if you want to just run with me. We're going to have them on the overhead here. One of the names that he calls himself by, and I love it, it is Jehovah Shammah. Jehovah Shammah. It means that I am with you. Do you remember Matthew writing in chapter 1 of Matthew? And he quotes Isaiah and he says this. He says, his name shall be Emmanuel. I'm going to say this. That gave you a hint right there that Jesus was the Son of God, because Emmanuel means God on board your ship. He's Jehovah Shammah. He is God with us. And Jehovah means I want to be with you. It doesn't just mean he's with us. It means I have a desire of relationship. Jehovah, I have a desire of relationship to be with you. Pastor, I'm having such a bad day, bad week, bad month, bad life, bad year. I don't know, but I'm going to say right now, God is with you. But it doesn't look like God is with me. You can't be looking around and thinking God is or not with you. That's where faith comes in. Amen. We talk about faith. Let me give you some faith. When everything's going south on you, when everything's going bad, you've got to stand up on your hind legs like a man and a woman and say, I have Jehovah Shammah. I have God with me. He's not leaving me, nor is he forsaking me. His name is Jehovah Shalom. I am the God of peace. I've already mentioned to you what Paul said about peace, what Jesus said about peace. It's the peace I leave with you. Isaiah wrote it this way in Isaiah 9:16. He said, he shall be called the Prince of Peace. Jehovah Shalom means nothing missing and nothing broken. That was used in the book of Judges after one of the warfares, after one of the issues. And they said, one thing about God, he is Jehovah Shalom. There's nothing missing, nothing broken. Folks, I'm going to tell you right now, you've got a God of peace with you today. He is Jehovah Rapha. He is God, our healer. This verse came out in the 15th chapter of Exodus, whenever the bitter waters were made sweet. But I will tell you, ever since then, he still uses that I am the healer. And one of the great places for Jehovah Rapha is not just get your cancer over, not just heal you of the kidney stones. Here's another one. It's Isaiah 61:1, that the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, and he has anointed me that I would preach the gospel to the poor, and I would heal those that are brokenhearted. See, my problem as a pastor, I know some brokenhearted people sitting up in here. He said, my name, is Jehovah Rapha. You don't just anoint them, Mike, to get them healed of their cancer, though you need to. And you don't just anoint them to get them over the problem with the cold or the flu or the measles or whatever it is. That's all good and you ought to. But they're going to be people that are going to come under that anointing, and they've got a broken heart. They've got issues in their life. They've got a marriage on the rocks. They've got family that's left them. They've got issues in their heart. They've lost a job, and they don't know what to do, and they're heart sick. They can't pay a bill. Can I tell you right now, those people need to be healed like the one that has the cancer. And I think sometimes we make fun of them and we make lighter of them. I can't believe you can't just be a man. I can't believe you can't just walk through this. I'm going to tell you right now, you've never had a real problem, but you'd understand there are times when we're broken. We don't have a good answer. You come to me for answers and you're brokenhearted, I can't ever help you. Because I'll puddle up and cry with you. Here's what I know. I'm not supposed to be able to have the answer, but he is the answer. If I could get you to understand his name is Jehovah, I desire relationship healer, and I'm with you, then you could bring that trouble, and we could lay hands on that, we could anoint that, and we could believe that Jehovah Rapha could heal my mind, my body, and my spirit. He is a God of healing and completeness. Amen? He is Jehovah Rohi. He is our shepherd. He is our shepherd. Jehovah Rohi is one of those good scriptures that David said in Psalm 23, but it's also used of him throughout the Word of God. It's used of him when Jesus said, I am the shepherd. When he said that, he identified himself as God. How many of you know that a shepherd leads and guides and protects? Amen. And I'm going to say this to you. Boy, if I make you mad, just forgive me. Or not, just whatever. But I'd rather you not tell people that shepherds break sheep's legs. But so-and-so preached. I don't care who preached it. Look at me, let me ask you a question. You got a sheep that's been running away, and you tell me you're going to go break his leg? Huh? You're telling me you know a shepherd that breaks sheep's legs? You don't. But we preach that, and we tell people, well, you know, if that sheep keeps running away, that shepherd goes and gets him and breaks his leg and puts him on his shoulder. That preacher ain't got his leg broken. The Bible never says he breaks a leg. I'll tell you what he will do. He'll go find the one that's running away because he's the good shepherd, and he'll bring you back. Your Bible says that there was a shepherd who lost one of 99 and said, I can leave y'all. You're good, but I'm going after that one that's out of here. He's looking right now for people that are lost, and he's not wanting to break their legs. Amen. I submit to you that that's mean Christianity. That's a mean Christian that wants to talk about God breaking legs when he says, I'm the healer. Amen. I'm the peace. I'm the healer. He's trying to correct us and get us back. And we're going to get people with broken legs. And we feel good when they go out and they have a big failure. I'm just going to say, when they hit rock bottom, let me tell y'all something. Rock bottom suicide. Be careful. We're praying rock bottom on people. Rock bottom isn't when they just feel bad. Rock bottom isn't when they lose their house and lose everything. I'm going to tell you, rock bottom is when you take the permanent solution for temporary life problems and you kill yourself. I'm just saying right now, that is the bottom. And some of us need to back off this idea that God just needs to throw them down and let them wallow in the dirt. I'm saying he saved me by love, not by destruction. He didn't save me because I was afraid of hell. He saved me because I loved his love. And I knew both sides of it. I know somebody's going to pull the scripture up and bring it to me after church or text it to me that I just know it's going to be there, that some are saved by the fire. Well, that's true. Some people, they've been in church long enough, they fear hell. But look at me, say something. Getting saved because you're scared of hell is a very weak plan of salvation. Because you get a few drinks and you won't be afraid of hell anymore. Just trying to be real. The Bible says he's Jehovah Nissi. Oh, y'all. Dude, I like this one. He's Jehovah Nissi. He is the banner of victory over my battles. The name came, and I'll just quickly hit this one. But the name came whenever they were in the valley of Rephidim, and Moses was on the mountain, and he had the rod of God, and he was supposed to hold the rod up. Y'all remember the story, right? And as long as he held it up, there was victory in the valley. But when the rod came down, they lost. But they helped him hold it up for victory. I'm going to say right now, that was called the banner. That's the Nisi. It's not just a banner of love. It's a banner of victory. It's what you put over a battle to say, we won this. It's an already done victory, even though the arrows are still flying. If you go to Isaiah 59, the last, I believe it, verse 19 to the last two verses there. If you read that, it says, when the enemy comes in, help me, y'all. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Lord, Spirit of the Lord, raises up a standard against him. Can I just have y'all rephrase that just a little bit? Use the same words, but just put your punctuation emphasis in a different place. Okay, I won't hurt the word. When the enemy comes in like a flood, not him, like a flood, the Lord lifts up a standard like a flood. The Lord lifts up a standard like a flood, like a tsunami. The Lord lifts up the standard against the enemy who came in like a flood. It came up over him. I think we've seen God trying to help out when the devil came in like a flood. That's not God you serve. The enemy came in, and like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord raised up a standard against him. And I'm going to tell you something else about a standard. I'll tell you about a standard. A standard is the common way that something should operate. That's the standard. The standard for victory is the Word of God. It is the operating system of a believer. It's where we find our victory, who we are and who He is, and what we can do and what He'll do for us. So I believe that God raises up a standard against the enemy, Jehovah Nissi, and He still does it now. The devil ain't as big as you think he is. He's Jehovah. I won't stay on this one long. Jehovah Jireh. The first use of Jehovah Jireh was Genesis 22, whenever Abraham was offering Isaac, and he was about to lose Isaac, and the Bible said that there was a ram in the bush, and God said, don't kill him, and he said, I'm calling this place Jehovah, the God that likes fellowship with me, supplies all of my needs. You get to the New Testament, the book of Philippians, chapter 4, verse number 19, and the Word of God says there, he supplies all of my needs according to His riches in glory. Everything is supplied. You've got a God that'll supply. Listen, He'll supply grace. He'll supply healing. He'll supply finances. He'll supply sound mind. He'll supply family. He'll supply for us. He is Jehovah Jireh, a God of supply. Another one is this, is Jehovah Makedesh. I'm really working to a close on these. Jehovah Makedesh means God our sanctifier. Now, let me help you on sanctification. I do believe sanctification is being set apart from sin. Therefore, there are sinful things that will be set apart from me. But look at me. Sanctification ain't all about not smoking and drinking. That could be part of it. The word sanctification has a couple meanings you need to get, because he's Jehovah Makedesh, the God of sanctification. Jesus prays to the Father in John 17. He said, I pray that you sanctify them wholly. He prays that. He's prayed that over you. So don't get mad at me. He's praying for your sanctification. But here's what sanctification means. It means set apart. It means set apart. It means taken from one place and put in another place. When we see habits coming off of people, we say, oh, they've been sanctified. That's holy right there. I'm going to tell you what it is. It's just getting from one place to the other, and things will change when you get to the new place. When you get in Christ, there are things that you could do yesterday that you can't do today, and a preacher doesn't have to tell you to stop. It's because you've been sanctified, moved from one place to another. There's another meaning for sanctification, and it means above the common. When you're born again, you're sanctified. You've been made above the common. So quit acting common. David showed you how you could operate in that when he went to the priest and said, we're hungry. I got men that need to eat. He said, King, I'd love to serve you, but all I've got is sanctified bread. All I've got is uncommon bread. It's only for uncommon people. And he said, we are hungry people. And we're God's people. And Jehovah Makedesh showed up that day and said, get some of that holy bread and give to my kids. Let's feed those that are hurting. Instead of us thinking we had to be spit shined and clean, how about there's a God that'll give you uncommon bread even when you're common? There's one more, and it's Jehovah Sid Canu. This is powerful. It is God our righteousness. To someone in here today that needs to be born again, you're away from God. All of that I preached you felt pretty good about, but you know, great, that's for other people. Well, then this one's for you. Because it's not you are righteous. It's not you got to act righteous. It's not that you got to do righteous. Look at me, listen to my lips. You can't do righteous. You be righteous. It's not an action verb. It is a being verb. It is who I have been made. I'm not righteous because of what I do or don't do. I'm righteous because God made me righteous. 2 Corinthians 5:21, the word of God says, he who knew no sin was made sin for us that we might be made. You ain't making anything. Oh, y'all make some babies, I get that, but still. When it comes to the kingdom of God, you're not making you righteous. Look at me. You're not making you holy, and you're not making you sanctified. If you can't get sanctified in your heart, what you quit doing ain't going to sanctify you. Oh, go ahead and get mad at me now. You mean I quit smoking for no reason? If you quit smoking to be holy, you did. You may as well keep smoking and die early. You mean I gave up? Yeah, you gave up for nothing, because giving up doesn't make you sanctified, and it doesn't make you holy, and it doesn't make you righteous. Those are things that Jehovah Makedesh and Jehovah Sid Canu can only do for you. You're holy because he called you holy. You're sanctified because he set you apart. Do we need to quit stuff? Yeah, but a far be it from preachers to tell you what it is. Absolutely. About the time we make our list, we got to put our name in there somewhere for pride. Because we'll make a list without our problems on it. You don't have to amen when I'm preaching good. I know that I am. I've been doing this for 43 years. I know what preachers can do. I've seen wounded people go out of churches because of what a preacher said. I'm not trying to grease you in. I'm going to tell you this. It's a whole lot simpler than church has told you. It's a whole lot easier than a God that loves you, that respects you, that will take you out of miry clay and put you in his place, that will take you out of sin from a common place to an uncommon place. If you see yourself uncommon, there's stuff you won't do because it's too common for you. Let's all stand if you would this morning. I'm done. I'm through. That's my God. That's my God. That's why we have that. You may get tired of it on Sunday morning. You're going to have our brother telling you who God is. I don't want you to come to the altar today because of what I said. I want you to move toward the altar because of what you received. Because you may have received stuff I didn't say. Some of y'all didn't have to hear it because the Spirit of God was already telling you about it. Truth is, there's some folk in here right now that when you heard that God took you out of the common and put you in the uncommon, all of a sudden you said, wow, that's why I've been feeling like I need to let that go. You understand it now? Because you recognize who you are, where you've been placed, and it makes those things look common, and we begin to change attitudes. Amen? Just say it. I believe families are going to be healed this morning because of Jehovah Nissi, the God of the banner. Jehovah Makedesh, the God of sanctification. Jehovah Rohi, the God the shepherd. Jehovah Jireh, the God provider. Jehovah Rapha, the Lord that heals. Jehovah Shammah, the God that is with us. Jehovah Shalom, the Lord who is our peace. I believe we hear that. And something in us, as Will said, resonates. And we say, I've got to have that for my life. So don't get back here.
Thanks for listening to the Gateway Family Church Podcast. For more information about Gateway, visit www.gatewayfamily.cc.